Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking FXBG Pottery Throwdown and two of my favorite people, Didi Leckie and Kevin Rodriguez, here this morning to talk about it. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I just said to you, why don't we do this more? I don't know why we don't do this more.
Time?
Life.
That could be. That's part of it.
And just a quick correction. Kevin's last name is pronounced Rodrigue. Yeah. It's unusual. It's French Creole. It's very weird.
How did I not know this?
It's okay.
No, it's fine.
You're not alone.
Just a long O, yeah. Pretty much.
So give me that again.
Rodrigue.
Oh, okay. I don't know that.
It's a very unusual pronunciation. It really gets everybody. I just want to make sure.
It got me.
Yeah.
It just got me.
It's a fun one.
Well, it's good to have you both here. Both of you, Liberty Town Arts is where you can find, Arts Workshop is where you can find both of you hanging out. You
and I 24/7.
Yeah, pretty much between the two of us, yeah.
Years ago when I did this business podcast that I've considered doing again, I did one with you two.
Yeah.
And oh, it was just phenomenal.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it.
We made, we went through the whole process of what goes into it. And we'll talk about that this morning. But the pottery throwdown, it is happening.
Yeah, it is happening. Despite the universe's attempts otherwise, it is happening. So we went through quite a bit this year to get it off the ground. We had originally planned to move it to November, so we started we got the grant from the Arts Commission.
Okay.
So that was great. We got that all gussied up in January. We started off all the planning in January, and I
started moving fast.
We started moving fast and everything. And then I got to requesting a street closure in front of Liberty Town because we decided we wanted to save a little bit of money, right? Because we did it in Market Square, which is lovely and wonderful, but it was hot.
It was also
pretty expensive, right? Okay. It's not a cheap place to
get
it.
And a difficult load in and load out.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, we had to really do a lot of coordination with the potters to make sure that they could load in and load out.
Sure.
They were appreciative of it, but it was still a lot of back end work for us. So we were like, well, let's just do it in front of Liberty Town. That'll be so easy. It's a street. They can pull up. We have. But the city changed their policies on street closures. And we basically, went through back and forth for a couple months with them, essentially. And then nothing really came of it. And so we basically were at that point, getting into this time frame where I was like, I guess it's just not going to happen this year because I don't know, what we're going to be doing. We had lost a lot of our planning time, right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what location you're going to have, and we were in limbo, it wasn't even like we got a no. We got a limbo.
Yeah.
Right? And we got we need, they're redesigning the policy. We'll have to let you know. And finally, I got to a point where I was like, you know what? Maybe we just skip this year. Maybe that's just what we do. We skip this year and we don't do it. And then MC Morris over at the city, she's now retired. Do you remember MC? She got wind that we weren't doing it and was like, absolutely not. I'm going to make this happen.
Oh, I can totally see. I can hear her say that.
So she got us together with the events coordinator at Parks and Rec and sat us all down in a room and was like, we got to figure this out. And she's the one who suggested her Camp Park, which I really hadn't even considered because, we were thinking November, and I was like, it doesn't seem like...
They have arts in the park.
Right, they have stuff all the time. I just didn't even think about it because, it's always busy. But apparently in November, they don't use the center anymore. So we found the date of November 15th as a perfect date because it's the day of the tree lighting. It's the big open house weekend downtown. They have a farmer's market that's happening, but it's just on the street closure, so the street will be closed, so it's great for pedestrians. And then the whole park was open. So it's this great synergy now of us being the big thing inside the park, all pottery.
It's perfect.
It's so perfect. And so it was one of those happy things where, you ever heard of the burnt toast theory?
No.
It was this idea of when your toast burns and you have to remake it, maybe sometimes you're supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time when something goes bad or you get into traffic and it slows you down so you don't, you're not on the bridge when it collapses.
Sure,
or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit self-centered, honestly, but the idea of being everything works out in the end for what it's supposed to. So I think this year it worked out in the way that it was supposed to. It's, it's not going to be the exact same show that we usually do, but it's going to be different and interesting and we're kind of hopeful that it'll be good. Like,
yeah, it should be great.
It is. It's a great visible spot, and who knows? You've got people that maybe at the farmer's market that have never heard of the Pottery Throwdown. And
yeah.
Back in the day, we used to always send people up to the farmer's market to give out pamphlets and then draw them down to Sophia Street where we originally had it.
Yes.
Yeah, and people had no idea it was going on. Well, now we'll be at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And pulling in those people right there, which will be nice.
Yeah, and when we've been doing demos up there, like Kevin and I did weekends, and another couple potters did weekends. And we've had some of the potters who were going to be in the show who sell regularly at the market, too, who've been taking flyers. So we have, like, pretty, like, the word of mouth's getting around this year. Like, it's gotten quite a bit around. But I had a great time going up there and just throwing pots and, like, talking to people about the show and... like Libertown and classes and pottery. It was really lovely.
Boy, to be able to do that, because again, it's a whole new group that, because if I hadn't known you, or if I hadn't known you too, and you kind of walked me through and showed me everything, it's fascinating to see.
Yeah, I mean, people are honestly like, I think we make it look really easy because we've been doing it so long too. It's like when I watch somebody play music and I'm like, that looks easy, I think I could do it. And then you like touch the piano keys and you're like, nope, my hands just go smush smush and make smush smush noises. But I think that's the thing too. It just looks magical when I watch somebody else throw pots, right? And I know what's happening. It still kind of seems magical to me. So
I like to relate it as surfing. It's very similar to surfing. You're riding a wave when you're moving the clay while it's spinning.
Yeah.
And so once you get the feeling of it, it's easy. And that's the way we kind of make it look. But until then, it's surfing. It's totally just plow the board, that kind of stuff.
But I've seen you and others do it, and it's just so seamless. And I can't get past, and when I tell you this, I can just see your face, Dee Dee, when I tell you this. To see you do it, it's just fascinating to watch. But I just look at it and think, I don't want my hands to get dirty.
Hey, that's okay. We need people like that, too, to buy the pots.
To buy it.
Yeah,
I'll
that's
buy
really
it.
Fine.
I love it. It's great stuff.
You would not, like, Ted, honestly, like, you've experienced this, I'm sure. Like, we'll get people in our classes, and there'll be somebody that gets into our class, and, like, they'll get up, like, about 10 minutes in and just start washing their hands, like, every 5 minutes, and you're like, oh, this isn't for you. And it's okay. Right. So now at the beginning of classes, I'll always ask, like, does anybody here feel like sensory issues? Do you not like your hands being dirty? And there's always one in a class. I'm like, this is not, you just prepare yourself, because this is, your hands will get messy. You can wash them frequently. Like, don't put a ton of water in your pot, but like, wash your hands off frequently. That's okay. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. So, but it's
a lot. Yeah.
To see you all do it, it is truly a gift. Quick break. We're going to come back. I want a lot of stuff to ask about and talk about with this. The FXBG Pottery Throwdown is happening November 15th, Herkamp Park. Dee Dee Lucky is here. Kevin Roadrig, is that?
Yes.
I got it. I can't believe it. I don't know that I've ever said, I think I've always gotten it wrong.
You really are not alone. It's like, you're not. I did it for years. Don't worry about it.
They're both here. LibertyTownArts.com if you want to find out more about Liberty Town Arts. And I'm sure there is Pottery Throwdown information there, too. And we will continue to talk about that this morning. We'll be back. Quick break on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The FXBG Pottery Throwdown, November 15th at Herkamp Park. That's our topic this morning with Kevin and Dee Dee. Well, that answered the question, because Dee Dee, I was going to say all throughout the spring and summer, I heard it might not happen, and I thought, well, maybe that, you know, I didn't know, but I think Herkamp Park is a great spot. And even if we're there all the time, I mean, Liberty Town would be a great place.
Eventually, maybe we'll get them to, because I know they're working on a new policy. They sent out that big survey. I don't know if they're still doing it. Hopefully, they are. So, if anybody's out there and it's out there, please fill out the survey. Because you know, there was a big pushback on doing street closures for a while downtown, and I think, you know, in some ways there were certain events that were not great with street closures. But Sophia Street was always doing a street closure, Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, which is our parent for the FXBG.
Trista Chapman,
who's an absolute doll and going to be in the show still, right? Yeah. She's still with us, still doing the darn thing. But when she started the Throwdown at Sophia Street, like, you know, that was a street closure event, right? And it was lovely and wonderful. So that was always that's the goal, is to kind of bring it back to that sort of thing. But if we end up at Hurricane Park permanently too, I'm not mad at it. Like, it's a really nice little park. It's beautiful. It's
still very community oriented.
Yeah. Super easy loading and unloading too, which is nice because you have multiple points of coming in and out. So we're just really excited, and we're excited to like have it be like a little different time of year too. Like,
yeah,
a little more holiday oriented. People are in the gift giving spirit. Like, you know, just a little bit like, kind of fun and exciting that way, right?
This is the chance to pick up those things, to do your Christmas shopping and get most of it, or maybe all of it done.
And you're pretty much buying local. We have, I think, one or two
that are coming from outside of town. Like, a lot of, because of the move-in date, like, a lot of the outside potters had already booked up for November, so this year will be a little bit different faces. We've got a lot of, like, potters that are local to the area. You know, Trista's going to be there, Neil's going to be there.
25 to 30 potters. I mean, it's a very large, supportive community as far as the potters go in this area.
Yes.
And we're, a lot of cases, we're all hidden. We're not seen. And so this show allows the opportunity for us to be seen and get together.
Yeah. You walk around and you get to know potters are cool people.
we're a weird bunch. We're good. Yeah. We're very generous and delightful and just... Odd little geese.
Yes, yeah.
Delightfully odd little geese.
No, but this as opposed to in the summer, you might not be thinking about the holidays, but now you are.
Yeah.
And so, Kevin, you've got, I guess, something in this little... It's like
Dan
a little,
Finnegan mug, yeah.
Yeah, an but old just, yeah, you see something like that, and you can look at that and think, I could give that to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and pottery itself, I mean... This is me being a bit biased, but pottery, it tells a story from us making it. But then once you start to use it, handmade pottery really becomes a part of your life and tells your story, your tradition.
It does, because I've got a bunch of things from a lot of you, and some that I have bought, but some that I have gotten, a lot of bowls from the Empty Bowl.
Empty Bowl, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are just wonderful. I've got them in all different sizes over the years, and they're wonderful to have cereal or soup or oatmeal in all the time.
Conversational.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, functional pottery is really about creating, like, art that you can live with and use every day, where it doesn't have to be inaccessible, right? It's, like, the most accessible thing.
You wake up in the morning, you need that coffee, so.
And why not? And I have so many, like, you know, customers of mine and customers of the store that will, like, tell me about the mugs that they bought from me or from somebody else that they, like, use every day, and it makes their day better. Or, like, somebody will break that mug, and it's, like, an emotional experience when that mug gets broken. And I know it, too, because I've had pots that I can't replace get broken, and I'm like, I'm just going to hold a little funeral for this. So it is, that's the unique thing about being a potter, is that most art, like, other than people who are clothing and fashion designers and handbag designers and things of that nature, like, you know, most 2D art that sits on a wall can't be used every day. But, like, unique to fiber artists and fashion artists and potters is that our art is intended to be used most of the time.
Yeah, we potters actually have to consider all five senses when we make our work. Mm-hmm. We have to consider the way things taste, the way they smell, the way they look, the way they feel, everything. It's imperative when we make our stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and how you are going to enjoy those senses as well.
Like, think about, like, the difference, like, a handle on a mug makes, right? Like, everybody has a really high opinion of, like, what they want their handle to feel like, or what they want the lip to feel like against their mouth, right? Some people can't drink out of thicker lipped mugs, or the handle's too small for them, so they won't buy it. Or
the texture of the glaze.
Yeah, the texture of the glaze can be off. Like, and that can be a really difficult thing too, especially if somebody is an atmospheric potter, like a wood, fire, or gas, because sometimes they don't have control over, like, what that feels like all the time. And that can be really, like, difficult. But I think it's one of those things where the pottery itself becomes secondary to the person that's experiencing it. So we have to, like, we have to get our art in there, but we also have to, like, accommodate for human experience. Right. And that really makes it kind of like a, almost like a inadvertent collaboration all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you make those decisions while you're making it?
100% Actually, before we make it, as soon as we sketch it out, we are deciding whether or not the person likes to hold it with a single finger, or whether the person likes to have all their fingers in, or whether they like to stick their hand in, and what they're drinking, actually, because if something's very aromatic, we have to open up the inside. I mean, there's a lot of engineering involved, too. So we are contemplating all that stuff before we even make it.
So how do you sketch it out?
I wish there was video of your face right now.
I've never I thought I knew. I thought I sort of had a general idea of what you do, and I have no idea.
You said we just got on the wheel and we're like.
Yeah, I just thought there's clay and you get it and you start working it.
There is some of that, right? There's like you get to a point, like again, it's like a flow state, right? You get to a point where like you're not actively thinking about it anymore, right? You have shapes that you really like, that you have developed, that people really like and respond to. And some of it's a little bit experimental sometimes. Like you'll be like, well, let me try this new weird shape and see how somebody enjoys this, and it won't sell. And you're like, got it. Humans don't like that shape. That shape is not for humans.
Or we ask them, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
And so if they're drinking like a high alcohol content drink, they want a narrower opening because they don't want that alcohol to burn their taste buds and their senses.
Right.
And so, you know, when we get that information, we store it in our heads, and then we start to design vessels
so for specific. So do you sketch it out? Do you?
Yeah. Sketch it out a lot of times. I mean, I've gotten to the point where, like, I will have designs that I literally will I sketch out by throwing on the wheel sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll throw on the wheel and then take a picture of it and then draw it from there to kind of capture it. Because sometimes my hands think better than my brain does. Like, I'm better at, like,
but when we were young, we'd have a sketchbook just full
of, like, images. Of pots. Yeah. I would, like,
now our drawing is done on the wheel.
Yeah. But it is a design for sketching. Like, I'll sketch it and, like, I'll sit with that shape for a little bit and see, like, or I'll fire it all the way through and test it and see if it works before I start mass producing it. But like when we teach people too, like we always talk about, you know, I'd always talk about the lip transition point on a mug, right? It's one of the biggest things that new potters struggle with is that they tend to make the lips too thick or flare out too much or too little.
Or too squared off.
And like there needs to be like a little bit of a curve to it so that your lip can go underneath and your upper lip can go over top without it like separating
at the
corners. And
the corner fits just right.
And like to get that correct takes practice.
That is so fabulous.
And if it's too thick, right? Like, you know, unless like you use a lot of lip filler, like if it's too thick, you're not getting your lips around it. And you know, like might be fine for some people, but for me, I've got little tiny lips, so like I have to design a mug that can fit for the littlest, tiniest lips on the planet. So that's what we go for.
And I have a mug design that I warn people immediately. If you're a sipper, if you like to sip things, it's a great mug. It's wonderful. It's like a little pouring pitcher into your mouth. But if you like to throw back, it's hard.
You're
going to
wear it.
You're going to wear it. So, you know, we all design different ways, and we try to warn people ahead of time.
Yeah. Most of my stuff is for, like, just normal drinkers because I'm not a sipper. I'm a gulper. I have ADHD. I forget to drink water all day, and then I'm like, at 5 p.m., I'm like, I got to get 6 cups of water in. So I'm just throwing it back.
This is so interesting. I thought I knew it all.
Oh, wait till we talk about teapot design. You have to create a certain like shape on a teapot for convection so that the tea like actually properly steeps.
Yeah.
We can get into that later, Ted. I don't know if you need to take a break or not.
We can get into science of pottery, but really, it's about coming down and enjoying all the pottery.
They don't. The general public doesn't need to know any of this. They just show up.
This is just interesting.
I know that we are thinking about you when we make it, and we hope that you enjoy it just as well.
And that's the thing I took away from the day that you and I, we walked through the whole process of what you do. There is it's a long process. And I will get very angry when I hear people say things like, well, I'd like to get to that, but have you seen how expensive it is? And I want to say, do you know how much work and how much time and just how long it takes for them to put that together? Take it back.
You know what? It is hard, but it's reasonable to me too, because I understand, you know, especially even now, like the economy is like not always working in everybody's favor, right?
Right.
And it does get really difficult to look at like a mug and be like $40 for a mug. And you're right, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but that's not because we're good at it and because we make it look easy. I understand why people have a difficult time being like, well, I can go to Walmart and get an $8 mug.
like, or a $5 mug. But it's an upfront cost, too. Right. Like, you're going to use this mug literally every day for the rest of your life.
Yes.
If you break it down $40 over the rest of your life, that's not so bad.
Yeah, Kevin's doing some girl math right now, and I love it. This is, like, perfect. Really, if you're looking at it, that mug is paying for me.
Yeah.
Like, if I get, I'm making money off this mug at the end of the day. But, like, that's the thing. It is, you know, you are buying a piece of art, right? And, like, if you buy a painting for $1,000 and put it up on the wall, you can't drink coffee out of it. But if you buy a mug for $40 and that's a piece of art that now you can use. And almost everybody at these shows, you know, bar a few people, you can put their mugs in the microwave or the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. You can, like, hand wash them. You can do all kinds of fun stuff with them. You can, you know, abuse them or treat them like gold, however you want. And it's like, these are things that reflect your lifestyle and in a way that, like,
you're going to live with it.
And, like, a lot of the mugs that you buy inexpensively, like, we all know, chip, break, fall to pieces, because they're made inexpensively.
Or they just don't fit your hand because they're made for the masses.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, and some of them might be cute and have cute little sayings on it. Can't begrudge anybody the fun mugs you can find. The novelty mugs are a delight sometimes. But Amy Kovacs got you covered at our show. She's got all the fun little...
She's got a lot of great stuff.
She's got the hilarious sayings. So, like, yeah, check her out if you want some, like, hilarious little, like, mugs with fun stuff on them.
This is a great spot. This will be a great day to get a lot of your shopping done.
It will be. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And like you said, Kevin, it's mainly your, you know, you talk about shopping local. This will be the Pottery Throwdown is a shop local event.
Absolutely. And with the farmer's market there, you're shopping local there. All of downtown will be bustling all day. So really just park in a parking garage and stay downtown all day. And
yeah, our event runs from like 10 to 4, and then the Christmas tree lighting is at 5. So you can basically just like stay for the whole thing.
And downtown open house. And,
everybody's going to have like, their shops are going to be all decorated and ready to roll that day. It's going to be just a lovely little, like, you know, Stars Hollow kind of, like, Christmassy feel downtown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
FXBG Pottery Throwdown, November 15th at Herkamp Park in downtown Fredericksburg. Kevin Rodrigue and Dede Lucky here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's just about 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dede Lucky in this morning along with Kevin Rodrigue and the FXBG Pottery Throwdown. Both of you, I should say, and we haven't talked about that, but we've mentioned, you both are at Liberty Town and you run the place, Dede.
I do.
Liberty Town is a great place.
Yeah, technically, Crystal Rodrigue, his wife, runs the place because she's my work wife. It's wonderful. It's been growing and growing over the years, and like, it's just, I don't know, it's just an always delightful, changing, wonderful place to be. Like,
it's
really
a major part of the Fredericksburg community as a whole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we try to connect with as many art galleries as possible and like work with them. And just, I mean, we have, you know, potters and people and artists from that are like two or three different galleries in town and stuff too. It's just, I don't know, it's a lovely art community in Fredericksburg.
Even restaurants, we're putting shows in restaurants.
And, yeah, we've got like a really cool thing going with
Ironclad.
Oh my God, I almost said Dragonfly. What's wrong with me? I'm like, Stars Hollow is just stuck in my head today. Ironclad, who took over the Kenmore.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started doing shows with them where we, like, once or twice a year, we were putting up, like, a ton of our artist work up in the space, and it's just up for sale for their guests to, like, see. And so it's, like, a nice little synergy where they get beautiful artwork up on the wall, and the artist's been selling, like, hotcakes out of there, really.
Yeah.
So it's been really lovely.
Even our painting professor, or painting teacher, Bill, he has a lot of shows
Tons
in different
shows.
Restaurants with his students, and it's just...
Yeah, they're doing another one at Sunken Wall coming up. Like, they've been doing them all over town. They do them at the dragon, what's it called?
Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, thank you. Yeah. God, my
and Samantees.
Samantees, like all over the place. So it's just lovely.
So LibertyTownArts.com, the website. I think the first time I ever went into Liberty Town probably, Dede, was either to see, either talk to you or to see Bill, Bill Harris. And I didn't realize that there are so many artists that are there.
Yeah.
And then I've been coming for years, and then last year I discovered there's a second floor. Who knew? Who knew there ever was a second floor?
I mean, yeah, this is the eternal struggle for Liberty Town. Is like, we try to make sure everybody knows. We got the arrows on the wall. We got footprints on the floor. We do, like, the rainbow staircase in the back to, like,
people upstairs. I had just walked down to see where Bill is. And so I knew that there were people around there. I didn't know if you kept walking.
Yeah.
You come to the stairs.
It's a common problem. It's like, it's...
But that place is an amazing place to explore because there are nooks and crannies everywhere. And it's just full of art.
Yeah. And we transitioned 100%. One of the spaces up there into a classroom space very intentionally to try to drive more people up there too. And that's really helped a lot. Like, there's a lot more just like traffic that gets pushed up there.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, I thought you were coming to either get a lesson or but there's all kinds of artists there, and you can buy things in there. It's a great place to shop.
Absolutely. We do, like, we've been doing for 2 years now, year and a half, a cool program called Sip and Spin, which is like people can come and get a couple of adult beverages. And then they can throw pots. It's usually on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
And
just an experience.
It's just like a one-time class, which we think is like just a lovely way to like get your hands wet, feel the clay, feel like it, you know, decide if it's too messy for you, right? And just have a good time with it.
And we have other drop-ins with glass and hand building and all kinds of stuff, painting even. Yeah.
So even if somebody doesn't want to do like a long-term class commitment, like they could do little short things. And then I always tell people it's free to walk through. Like, you can just come into the store and walk around and treat it like an art gallery and just look at the art. And I think we've talked years ago how we're like a second date spot. Like, I can clock it from 100 miles away and somebody's on their second date, right? Yeah. It's like the space that you take somebody when you want to like, I'm artsy.
Right.
I do a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
And they always have that, you know, because it gives you something to talk about, right? And there's the space, you know, there's a lot of areas where you could just stand and talk and with each other and like have a conversation. We are like a third space, which I know are people talk about them being rare, but like I think Liberty Town is a legitimate third space for a lot of people in a lot of ways. Like,
oh, I agree. And just think about it: if you are on a second date, and everybody's so friendly there, and you know your date's gonna think they know. You know, they know.
You know. And sometimes they do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But we won't give it away if we've seen you a couple times with a couple different people. We won't tell anybody.
No, of course you wouldn't. But no, it's no matter what you're looking for, or if you are looking for a class, you are looking for, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that Liberty Town can help you out.
Yeah. It's just I feel like this is the thing, like our whole art community in Fredericksburg is so unique and powerful compared to other communities. Mm-hmm. Like we're such a small town still. Like we're not like big. We're nowhere near even 100,000 people in this town. Like, 35,000 or something. It's like that's tiny in terms of the city.
Yeah. But I think the city does a lot to push that. Like the Arts Commission.
The Arts Commission is huge. And then like the tourism department, like we were talking to them this year about next year really kind of partnering with them on the Throwdown too and kind of making it bigger because of what they do in Stenardsville with the Virginia Clay Festival. And like there's an opportunity there for this to become really like a joint venture between the arts community in Fredericksburg and the Arts Commission and the tourism. So we're going to explore that like after the Throwdown this year. We're going to start exploring that with them for next year. Because I think it really, when we almost canceled it, I think that kind of like
shook them
jolted them, right? Like we're like,
we don't want you to do that.
Yeah, and they realized like we need support and we need like, you know, the city to like be part of this partnership, which MC kind of like pushed along. But it's like, you know, some of that stuff can get lost in the shuffle. And I don't think anybody had bad intentions on anything with it. Like it wasn't like anybody was trying to cancel it. It just was one of those moments where everybody sort of realized how fragile these kind of events can be if like the community isn't supportive because they're tough to run.
Yes.
Like we're all very, very busy. There's a reason why Trista gave it up. It wasn't because Trista didn't love it anymore. It's because it was so much work. So much work.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, because and I know, especially you, Kevin, you do a lot of traveling on the weekends.
I do.
It's not as though you make your pottery and you just sit and wait for people to come. You're going out to all these shows and to have a local show, at least your wife, I'm sure, is very happy.
Yeah, I love this time of year because it's just two local shows left in the year. Out of the next year, I think I'm guessing about 15 shows total around the country. But the two local shows are my favorite because it's just get up, jump in the truck, go put up a tent. Wow, I get to enjoy my time with my community kind of thing. But normally a show is grueling, very, very hard. But the connections you get from a show are rewarding just by themselves. Like you're meeting, hopefully, the end users or somebody that's going to gift it to the end user. And so you get that connection that you don't get online. You don't get it at a gallery. You know, yeah. You get to learn the people that made it, meet the people that are going to use it. And that's so important when it comes to pottery in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And then they like with the local shows too, you get people that come back to you mm-hmm. in a way that like sometimes when you're going out of town, like you're going to build a name in a different community, right? They might order online from you. But you like build that camaraderie with a person, then you become their potter. Right?
Next thing you know, you convince them to quit their job and become a potter. Yeah, and that's our ultimate goal is turn everybody into potters.
Just a giant cult. Just for really, just a giant pottery cult.
You don't want to.
You heard
that
it here
job.
First.
You want.
We're starting a pottery cult.
Like, there's nothing more luxurious and money making as
yeah.
The
we're
pottery,
just all very wealthy.
Old world potter. Yeah. No.
We have the best. Like yeah. It's all lies.
Being a potter is hard work. Here's how I know. Because a few years ago, I was doing a project with Trista Chapman. And so we're upstairs in her gallery. And she said, oh, I need to go down. Somebody dropped by. This is what she said. She said, oh, they just dropped by my clay this morning. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I can bring it up for you if you need to. And she said, oh, no, I don't think you want to. I'll do it. Of course I'll do it.
Oh, Ted.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I learned. That thing was heavy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just Ted, no. To move that stuff around.
Oh, yeah.
And she laughed and said, because yeah. She kept saying, I don't think you know. And I said,
but she
did
refuse
you.
Your help. Let me tell you, every potter is like, are you sure?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally. Let's go.
This is the thing. Like, it's hilarious because I feel like we all like are just on these weird super strength. People will be like, you, oh, how can you carry that? Like
that's
that?
What I said. Like, I said, you carry this upstairs? And yeah. She said, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
It has to be
yeah.
done.
Yeah. You just have to do it. There's no you have no other choice. Like, and sometimes you like people who are less strong will break it down into carry the 25-pound bag at a time, or like, you know, I carry everything on my shoulder, so I basically like thrust it up onto my shoulder
yeah.
and carry it on my shoulder because that's like my most comfortable position. But I can walk for like half a mile with a box of clay on my shoulder these days.
Man,
it's like yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. Like
as
I think,
far as the shows go, I'm always jealous because we potters roll up with 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of pottery for the show.
Yeah.
And a jeweler walks in with just a suitcase or two of jewelry, yes. And that's it. I'm like, oh, you
got
to
yeah,
be
because
me.
I've seen because you got your truck and a trailer because
mm-hmm.
I've seen you at shows yeah, and are yeah. loading it up.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and then you have to have enough. Product to take to these shows.
Yeah. You have to have at least 1.5 times worth of product of what you think you're going to sell for every show. So you're anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 for a 1-day show worth of product.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Whereas me, well, people get what they get with me because it takes me forever to make every single pot and
yeah.
I'm a busy lady. So.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, if you want consistency, go to Kevin. If you want an adventure,
yeah, yeah.
Come to me. We'll see what I have on the shelves.
and that's it does take time, and
it does.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
have lives.
Yeah, well, yep. I'm a crazy person because Kevin can attest. Like, I touch my pots like 1,000 times. It's not economical. You guys are getting a real steal with my pottery.
So when I make pots, it's more about production. I still make them look nice, but I don't put too much decoration into them. You'll see at this show, every pottery is obviously different.
Yeah.
Some put more into decoration, like Dee Dee puts a ton of time, and she's very reliant on what leaves are, you know, in season kind of thing. Whereas me, I am about make it look nice, keep it simple, remember function over anything
and
else.
Keep going, keep
yeah.
producing.
Yeah. And she is more, a lot of the potters are more artistic forward versus function. They're still functional, but they're more artistic forward, which you're creating a beautiful piece of artwork, right?
I feel like you're like downgrading the amount of effort you put into your pots, which is kind of hilarious because as somebody who makes the Lotus bowls. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
A bit of a lie. He's just fast at it. He fiddles a lot. Don't believe in public. He fiddles with his pots quite a bit. But no, I think it is. It's like, you know, being a potter is that balance, right? Like, especially functional pottery. I love doing what I do and I won't stop doing it, even if it's not economical for me and I end up making a dollar an hour, basically, by the time I'm done. I don't care, because those are the pots that make me happy.
This is what you do. Before we get out of here, because you had mentioned it, and it's been on my mind, because you said, as we were talking about how mugs and things are made, teapots.
Yeah, so teapots are really specific, because teapots have to, like, you have to factor in, like, actual fulcrum points and angles. So,
yeah.
Like a tipping, like the efficiency of a spout, but then the actual shape of a mug or a teapot, you have to form so that the water, when it pours in, like convex and like lifts up the loose tea leaves and spins them around and aerates them properly.
Oh, yeah.
So that the water gets around all the little tea leaves. If it hits the bottom and just lays flat, it doesn't convect. Like sometimes you'll see artsy teapots that are like very triangular and, you know, those are lovely and fine, but sometimes they don't always brew the best cup of tea because of that shape. Like, they're hitting the wall, and it's too much turbulence, and it unevenly, like...
And the taper of the spout is important, because, number one, it has to taper all the way to the end, mm-hmm. otherwise it breaks up your stream and makes it glug, glug, glug.
Yeah, it'll get bubbly. Then you have to put, like, a hole in the lid so that the air pressure can equalize when you're pouring
otherwise,
out.
Otherwise, it'll stop.
It'll stop, or you'll get glugging, because it'll, like, suck out of the top.
The lid has to be a certain shape, otherwise you get a lot of dripping.
And then you have to put flanges on the top so that this lid doesn't tip when you pour it. And then the handle has to be situated in such a way that when you pour it, it doesn't hurt your wrist.
Whole nother discussion with handles.
Oh, I would have been a terrible potter.
It's the most complicated, I think, of all the shapes we do.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get wrong, too.
It's so 8 or 10 parts that all have to come together as one piece.
Yep.
It's probably my most expensive per size, my most expensive piece that I make, because it's just that complicated.
And like teaching people how to make them too is really complex. Like Kevin and I have both taught classes on it, and it's like once you start breaking it down for people, they're like, okay, I guess I'll make one.
I'll make one.
This will be the one and only I make during this class. And I'm like, probably.
But they can create some really creative ones. I had a student, she's going to be at the Pottery Throwdown. The one that she made, she refused to make more, was a rat teapot. And the backpack was the lid. It was like an I Love New York kind of rat teapot.
Yeah.
And the spout was the mouth. And the tail came up and over as a handle. It was absolutely gorgeous and worked beautifully. And she refuses to make another one, which is such a shame.
But I can understand it. Like, it took me, like, when I learned to make teapots, my first teapots were awful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Awful, awful, awful. It took me years to, like, venture back into it and, like, study it and figure it out. Now I've got a couple, and I'll make them, and then once they sell out, then I'll make more. Because I'm like, we'll just let this sit and let everybody enjoy this, and then once they actually leave my shelf, then I'll make another one. Because it takes a while. It takes you, like, almost, like, 2 or 3 days just to throw all the parts for it. Because you have to, like, throw them all out. Like, you have to throw multiples of everything.
How would you make that? But I guess if you make it in parts and then you
put it all together. It's a lot of assembly, and, like, you have to get everything to get to the right
Once again, place. You design it either on paper or in your head, and then you have to make it happen, which is always the hard part.
Yeah.
Like, my teapots have these very long, skinny spouts that are kind of complicated to do originally, and then I came up with a simpler way to do them, but they're very long and skinny, so they're almost like a watering can kind of teapot, whereas yours tend to be smaller.
Very English style. Yeah.
Very English style teapot with the handle on the side and the spout on the front. Yep.
I love you guys. You're so interesting. You are so interesting. The FXBG Pottery Throwdown, November 15th, Hurricane Park. We're going to wrap it up when we come back with Dee Dee and Kevin, and talk about all that you need to know about that when we return on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, what good stuff. FXBG Pottery Throwdown, November 15th at Herkamp Park. Kevin Rodrigue and Dee Dee Lucky here talking about it. You can find both of them hanging out at Liberty Town Arts Workshop in downtown Fredericksburg. LibertyTownArts.com.
Yes.
Website?
Yes. Yeah, with the S on the end. Yeah.
Yes, LibertyTownArts.com.
Yeah.
You'll just see all kinds of cool people and cool things.
Now I got my brain mixed up.
No, it's
I'll look at it. We'll figure it out.
If you put if you put Liberty Town, Fredericksburg,
only two things come up when you type in Liberty Town. It's us and then Liberty Town,
Liberty Taxes, and Liberty Texas. Pawn Shop. So three things.
Oh, okay.
We get calls for the pawn shop every once in a while. Like the Liberty Pawn Shop.
Yeah, I can see
They'll
that.
Be like, do you guys have any guitars? We're like, no, we do not. We don't have any guitars.
But if you give us time, somebody can make one.
Yeah, Larry. We'll just direct him to Larry Hinkle. He makes some ukuleles. Yeah, that's as close as we get.
Before we get out of here, I mean, this is really a chance. The tagline to this is celebrating local ceramic art, and that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you're shopping or just want to meet some cool artists, come on by.
Yeah, we have live music. We have demos all day long.
Demos all day.
We have lots of potters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we have, and then, you know, we have our classic potters of Trista Chapman and Neil Reed will be there. So the Fredericksburg favorites. Dan will be with us this year. Dan Finnegan is up in North doing the Pottery Throwdown, but he's one of the original founders. Not Pottery Throwdown. Pottery on the Hill. My Atlanta, he's going to kill me if I say that. So Pottery on the Hill is also this weekend.
Okay.
Or that same weekend. So he'll be up there all weekend. But you can do both because it's on Sunday, Friday, and Saturday. So.
Yeah.
But he's going to be up there, so he won't be joining us this year. But he's one of the original founders. But 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at Herkamp Park. You know, just come on by and see all those lovely potters and watch us throw some pots and talk about them. Listen to some good music.
Pottery's a great gift.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Really is.
It's a great gift.
It's a very thoughtful gift, too. So,
because like you both have said, it really is the kind of gift that you can use and use and use. And you mentioned, Dee Dee, the most pots you can put in the microwave. And
a lot of them, it really depends. Talk to the potters individually.
Yeah.
Some pots you can.
Yeah.
But like in general, like most of the potters like are using clay that like vitrifies or like crystallizes down enough so that it doesn't absorb water like a pot that you would buy at the Target or like Walmart or something would, because they're using a earthenware clay that has a more open body that absorbs water than the dishwasher.
And the microwave. That's the two things that are the most detrimental, is that when it absorbs water, it gets ultra hot, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or in the dishwasher, it can absorb water and cause the glazes to craze, that kind of thing.
So, like, what happens is, like, the dishwasher forces the water into the pot.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the microwave, and it's still there. Like, if you let that mug out for, like, 2 weeks, it'd probably be dry enough to put in the microwave regardless, right? But most people aren't doing that. They're using a mug. They'll put it in the microwave to microwave some hot water, which, as a person who uses a kettle, is blasphemy to me, but we'll have a conversation about that later. But they'll put it in the microwave, and then that water heats inside that mug, and that's why the mug gets hot.
Yeah. It's not the metal. There is no metal in the clay or the glaze.
Yeah.
It's like water moving inside the actual clay.
Vibrating, causing the heat.
You guys are part engineer, you're part scientist.
I say like pottery is art for jocks, but it's also probably art for like chemistry nerds too. But like, we're just like such a physical thing. Like, I know we're just the weirdest artists on the planet.
Yeah.
I gotta get, come early next year, we gotta do another show. We haven't even talked about kilns and any of this kinds of things. Much more. Again, the FXBG Pottery Throwdown, November 15th, Herkamp Park. 10 to 4, LibertyTownArts.com. Check them out. Dee Dee Lucky, Kevin Rodrigue, thank you both.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.